Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and we are here with the Clone Wars Report. Is it great? It sounds very much like important news is breaking, or just like a lot of people are typing on the set of Mad Men.
Yes.
Which is breaking news in its own way. We are very excited to be talking the Clone Wars Report. The musical guest and co-host, as always, is Ken Knapsack, and I'm Joseph Scrimshaw. And we've been talking through all of the Clone Wars. We just started a chronological rewatch. If you're just catching up now and want to join us, you can just Google Clone Wars Chronological Order, and a great guide will come up that is from StarWars.com. This episode, we are diving into Clone Cadets. This is season 3, episode 1. Obviously, it's a little bit earlier in the actual chronology. What we're doing on this show is we're dividing everything up by kind of arc. And there certainly is a clone arc, but this is the one that just is in the earlier part of the chronology. So we're just tackling it by itself, the episode Clone Cadets. The moral of this episode, Ken, is brothers in arms are brothers for life. How are you feeling about that moral?
I think it's interesting to dive into it, because initially you kind of go like, yeah, you form some bonds and this and that. I now, after kind of watching the episode, look into it, I take it as, hey, brothers in arms, they also need to be brothers in life. Not saying got to be best friends and hang around a campfire with everyone, but it works that way. It's an outside, you know, it's not just, you're not just bonded by what you do on the field. You need to make sure you're connecting and growing off of it as well.
Yeah, I really like that. This is not, the moral is not brothers in arms are best friends for life, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just Rosie. It's just like you are connected. That is the truth. So which that would then imply like find a way to make it as great as possible to be connected because you are.
Yeah. And there's also a surface level thing too. Yep. Totally get it. You see that with a little bit 99 we're going to dive into, but yeah, I like it. A lot of meaning in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it resonate with you more having worked in security and having a lot of people in your life who have been police officers, been involved with the military? Does that specific aspect of it, brothers in arms, speak to you?
Yeah, it does. We all kind of go through those things in life. I would even throw wrestling and being in a wrestling locker room. There's a bond that sometimes, for better or worse, is there, and that you circle up, you rally, and you're connected, and you have a shared experience. And that, again, doesn't necessarily mean everyone's going to be best friends, but to go through something, to come out the other side stronger for it is something that speaks to me in those terms. And that's definitely a lot of the atmosphere for whatever it is. There's that shield around a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, good or bad.
What's that?
I said, again, good or bad, yeah.
Good or bad, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the episode definitely does dive into that. Just a very brief summary. This is a story of clones being trained on Kamino, being overseen by Shakti and some bounty hunters, which we will, of course, talk about. We meet some clones that we will see further adventures of. There is a specific squadron, Domino Squadron, that is having a hard time. They are struggling with the training. In the clones in that group are Fives, Cut-Up, Droid Bait, Echo, and Heavy. And that's really the story, is of them trying to graduate to be clone troopers. So, Ken, what was your overall reaction? Did you love this episode? Did you like it? Did you struggle with it?
Really, I really love this episode and probably love it more. Getting to focus on them, we keep talking about the power of rewatching this in the chronological order, and that's really been working on me so far, and we're just, you know, getting into it here. There's new perspective with Echo now with the show behind us, all those kind of things. But I think watching this the first time and the few times that I've seen this episode in the past, I don't know, you can kind of, again, on the surface, looking at that moral, they're training, they're failing, and they got to work together to succeed. Good. Great lesson. I get it. It's a lot more than that, and other things jumped out to me this time around. This is why these rewatches can be really valuable as a fan, if you value further insights into these episodes. So I really loved it. And we can talk about some of the chronological stuff there. But there was also, I found myself way more interested in the secondary lessons of teaching and coaching and mentorship and how to do that. And that really stood out to me more than even the clone story this time around.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's a really great insight. I can't wait to hear more about that. But I did not have that strong response to the teaching aspect of it as you did. So I'm excited to hear about that. But otherwise, we're really in the same place. I've really liked this episode when I watched it before, because it's one of the things that I love the most about Clone Wars is this wrestling that Star Wars does with the tragedy of war, but then within it, what are these great life lessons and giving humanity, like the shots of the clones and Attack of the Clones, particularly the ending. I talk a lot about how that them all lined up with their armor and marching onto the ships it's a tragedy. It's it's the failure of the Jedi and the Republic. So to go beyond that and say, but these brothers in arms, it's not their tragedy. They found themselves in this. They're individuals. They're humans. Let's go into their story and just invalidate them as individuals. I've always really loved that. This is one of those episodes that does that. And then I've, much similar to you, have been like, this is a great, straightforward story about teamwork. Mm-hmm. And watching it with more Star Wars thoughts and thinking about the complexity of some of these themes and my strong feelings about where the Jedi succeeded and where they failed and why. I just so incredibly engaged in, yeah, it's a story of being a team, but it's a story of a lot more complex ideas than that. We're going to get into it in the themes, but it dives into the balance between the individual and the group, and the comparison between the clones and the Jedi and even the bounty hunters, and how does that spill over into teaching philosophy and all of these actually complex ideas that is more than just, hey, remember, kids, teamwork is good. Hey, you're a team. Great. Right. Bye. It's not as simple as that.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's dive in. I got a couple ideas on what kind of big themes that resonated for me are. But for you, what was at stake in this episode?
At stake for me was understanding the concept of strength does come through individuality, but wow, when it flows into a unified goal and you don't let that goal erase your individual personality, you can really accomplish some things. There's also some values being able to adapt to succeed, not just overcome, but succeed. Is that a big theme or just a good life lesson? I don't know. And I love the idea of self-discovery within the group or within a group, and being the constant, the idea here of the nicknames are so big, right? And who believes you should have nicknames, or who rejects nicknames and who embraces them, or when they do it at certain points. So this individuality is a big theme for me.
Yeah, I think that's great. I love everything you're talking about here. The nicknames in particular being this symbol of individuality, and we get to see it that even that is not just straightforward, where they all like come up with nicknames, that some of them have their own names that they have pride in, and others are assigned as a validation. And then, you know, you got names like, we call that clone Droid Bait.
Yeah.
Right. And there's even, I think, a little bit of, you know, possible validation of that. But to see that these names come from, they truly emerge in an organic way. It's not even like in the subculture of the clones, they've all decided that like at this part of the training is when you pick your name. It's happening organically. And it's some, it's great. For some, it's bad. For some, they have to figure out how to embrace their names. So I love the complexity just within that.
Yeah. Even Echo. Echo's an insult, right?
Echo's an insult. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he has to become that. And it represents who he is. And he's not ashamed of that and all those kind of things. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And Heavy rejects his at first, which is, you know, a big part of it. But yeah, I love that this is, I think on that surface level, it looks like it's just a story about unity. That's even what the great narrator Tom Kane yells at us that clones need to have is bravery, valor, unity. In that it absolutely is that. But just as you're saying, it's unity either versus or together with individuality, depending on how you want to look at it, that in order to truly be successful within a team and to appreciate oneself as a part of a whole, you still have to appreciate yourself and you still have to embrace your individuality. And I really like how that is reflected through Echo, but really I think through Heavy, where he is the one who is having a hard time working as a team, where he is the one who just wants to run out there and do it himself. I've played many video games with people behaving like Heavy initially.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
He is the Leroy Jenkins of the Clone Wars is what you say.
He is. Yes, okay. Heavy. And just goes running in there. Yeah, but I really like how it comes down to when he embraces his name, when he embraces even the idea of having a name from Clone 99, is when things start to click into place for him. We have a bunch of other moments with other clones where they're wrestling with their names. But for Heavy in particular, the fact that he wins by working better together as a group, coming up with an idea that is entirely dependent on teamwork and his individuality. Mm-hmm. Because right in that moment where, you know, they don't have the ascension guns and he comes up with a plan that is, we need to climb together as a chain. So it has to be teamwork.
Right.
And trust me, individually, I know this idea will work because I know guns. So just like in his solution, he represents both the power of individuality and the power of teamwork.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really, really powerful to me. Did you have other thoughts on the sort of unity, individuality?
I have ideas how it ties into the bigger perspective of Star Wars.
Excellent, excellent. the other theme that I wanted to touch on is this idea about what's fair. comes up kind of explicitly when Brick, the bounty hunter, mm-hmm. steals their ascension guns.
Yeah.
And there's just that discussion of like, well, yeah, that's the way. Yeah, you're kind of being a jerk, but also that's the way it's going to be on the battlefield. Nothing's going to be fair. Mm-hmm. And I saw that reflected also in Clone 99 being understandably upset that he never got a chance to prove himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't fair. And he proves his worth in other ways by being, a supportive guide and mentor to the other clones and helping them see themselves and helping them see their situation. But I like that little sub theme of how do you deal with life when it isn't fair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that. And I like that. We talk about in terms of teaching and styles and what Shaak Ti does with that moment is was interesting to me.
Yeah. Tell me more about your teaching thoughts. Is that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so sure. Shaak Ti and the bounty hunters, what did you get out of that?
There's this the whole concept, you have Brick and Ellis, spelled L-S, so it's not like our buddy Mark Ellis, but Brick and Ellis, by the way, it's also interesting that there's like, we're kind of busy, let's hire a bounty hunter to do some training, like, whoa, interesting.
Right.
Wow, all right, Jedi. There's different, you know, and you and I've talked, I've been a coach before, and there's different kind of styles, and there is... Sometimes I think tough love can be valuable, but I think Shaak Ti is a better example of tough love versus Brick. Brick's just a prick. Sorry. but Shaak Ti, it's very interesting, right? That she's just like, because Ellis is like, this is not fair. This is not fair. She's just like, doesn't even think about it. Like, cool. Let's see how they do this. I have faith. But the bigger concepts of Ellis has faith. He really believes in them, and Brick doesn't, and how a lack of faith can destroy you, potentially destroy you. And Brick's all kinds messed up. I'm not condoning all his things, but there's some interesting, I don't know. I sometimes think being a little tough's okay. But again, I don't want to condone any of Brick's actions here in a real life situation. Don't try to fight your students. Maybe not a good idea, but he has a misplaced pride in their failure, right? He's so, you know, you guys are not going to succeed. And for Ellis to point out, that's a reflection of you, is a very powerful lesson of leadership, mentorship, being a teacher. You work for those that work for you, really, if you have the right approach. And I thought that was pretty important and pretty valuable. And for Star Wars that has a lot to say about teachers, students, masters, Padawans, and the different ways to do it. And I believe... just in terms of sports, you know, you have to, people are going to react to different styles of coaching on your team of 26 players. Three might need you to go, get out there, do it. Others might need you to go, hey, come here, sit down. Let me talk to you about it. You know, you have to deal with them as individuals for that common goal. So it's reflected back into what we were talking about here.
Yeah. I love that. It's just like what the goal at the end of this is to work as a team, but what do you individually need in order to get to that place?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What do you need? And being able to recognize those underneath you as individuals who, again, tough love sometimes are nipping at them or barking. I barked when I needed to bark because I know some just didn't care till I barked and that was there. But others, you know, it is a counseling, a coaching, a mentorship who you can trust. You know, it's a weird football adage again, but like if you can party on a Saturday night and play on Sunday, you have my trust. But if you can party on Saturday night and you fail on the game on Sunday, then we need to talk about your specific individual rules and boundaries that you can't handle. I'm not a parent. I'm sure that's going to be a little different. My sister and I are eons apart. So I thought it was really interesting because teaching is important in Star Wars and to see it on display here. That's why I really do love Shaak Ti in this one specific moment of Brick's playing dirty. Ellis, I'm not saying Ellis is too soft, by the way, but you know, a little bit like if he had got his way, shut him down, that's going to be a failure for Domino Squad. They're going to feel it. They're not going to be like, oh, it's okay, our ascension guns got stolen. They're going to be like, damn, we couldn't even get past this again. Shaak Ti's got the right approach. And that her speech about, and this ties into the other themes, but we in the Jedi, you know, when it's right, we are individuals as a group. And so she understands a lot of those things. Anyways, it was very fascinating to look at it this time around because I didn't really pick up on a lot of that last time.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. You're really bringing out some themes that I like saw and appreciated, but didn't really appreciate on the same level that you are. So that's great because, yeah, definitely I liked and got the idea that Brick is just kind of being a jerk, and he's just like they are not his responsibility. He just gets the clones he gets, and some of them are good, and some of them suck. Right. And these ones suck, and he's just ready to move on from those. No self reflection about his own attitude. But then the other thing I thought about when you were sharing these insights is this great perspective of we are training identical clones to march in formation and follow orders. And in order to do that well, we have to accept that one size does not fit all.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great contrast if we're never going to get them to this sort of necessary rigidity of, you know, of a squad. Without really approaching them as individuals and with individuality.
Yeah, and the rigidity.
You can party the night before a podcast.
I cannot. That's not. I mean, you need it. That's life saving. Yeah, that's life saving in this war situation. But to get there, you got to recognize how to get there in the best way possible. And I think Shakti does.
Yeah, yeah, it's all great stuff. So let's talk about some of how these themes reflect a larger storytelling or morality or perspective of Star Wars. You said that you had some thoughts there.
Well, just look off on the surface, we get some great teasing for the Bad Batch stories yet to come, both in Clone Wars and the series, right? And I giggled every time I heard it, like, oh, he said Bad Batch. we obviously know this ties in Star Wars' belief in the power of the individual and everything, but this to me is the groundwork for the Rebels as we know it, including all their flaws. I just am fascinated by learning more and more about that little plucky rebellion, that plucky group of Rebels that took on the Empire, and just knowing the struggles it took to get there, the leadership that was needed, the different styles, Saw Gerrera, Draven, Mon Mothma, all those folks, where it comes from, Infus Nest, and that what that represents from the ground floor up, but how it does flow into a military organization. And because it's Star Wars, because this is a prequel to all of that, to see that that's perhaps a spirit that aligns with the Jedi versus what we know with the Empire and what we know with the Sith. I love that it flows right into the rebellion.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I think that the rebellion is a step forward from the Jedi, I guess, in a way, from the flaws that the Jedi had in this era. I spend a lot of time when we talk about Clone Wars talking about sort of a justice for Jedi.
Yeah.
Trying to understand, like, here's the really difficult path they were trying to walk and why they might have made some of those mistakes and why they might have seen the Clone Wars as honorable defense against, an attack from the Sith. To begin with and get lured into this. And we get see that again where they're like, hey, we're too busy. So bounty hunters.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, obviously, LS is, you know, pretty good fine. Brick. Mm. Not so much.
Not so much.
But with Shakti in this episode, I think is the thing that I probably enjoyed the most of the subtlety of, I felt like the clones affected ultimately Domino Squadron, this great balance between the need for unity versus the need to respect the individual. And Shakti had that moment at the end where she was like, yeah, I think they're going to be the greatest, might be the greatest ever because we challenge them and they found their individuality. But a bunch of the other stuff she says to me is an example of the Jedi going too far away from the individual and being more invested in the idea of the group to the point where they start to lose a sense of the individual. They start to have a lack of emotion and that fear of attachment. All those flaws I started to see in Shakti in these a couple specific lines and scenes. She's got the scene with Lama Su where they're talking through the problems with some of the clones and Lama Su says, I know you're concerned. And Shakti says, a Jedi does not feel concern.
Right.
Oh, and it's one thing to master your emotions. It's another to just reject them entirely and push back. Like she's in the middle of talking about a legitimate concern that needs to be dealt with. And she's like, I don't even feel that.
Would you say that's a little bit of hubris?
I would. I would say one of our favorite words, hubris. But to me, that tracks through like Phantom Menace, bringing Anakin before them. Nothing the Jedi are saying about Anakin is wrong. He is, you know, he does miss his mother. He does feel that fear of loss. That is a danger. But they don't treat him with warmth or kindness, you know?
Yeah.
And there's that lack of emotion that can be like, great, I have all this power as a Jedi. Yeah. It's dangerous for me to act on my emotions. I need to be really thoughtful and responsible about how I use my power. Mm. And then you just get one step too far into not having emotion at all, which will affect, I think, your ability to kind of see the needs of individuals and only think about your, you know, big picture rules. Yeah. There's that other line from Shaak Ti later where she says, in the Jedi, individuals and the group are one and the same.
Right.
Which is, again, just like it's not a mastery of the self. It's not saying, I recognize that I'm an individual and sometimes my individual needs are not as important as what the group needs. Mm-hmm. It's instead not mastery of self, but that sentence suggests entire rejection of self, which is where it got really interesting to me, because that's not what the clones do to succeed. Mm-hmm. Heavy embraces his individuality and it helps him better serve the group. But Shaak Ti is saying, I'm not really an individual. I just serve the group. And all of that gets really interesting to me when Lucas and all of Star Wars clearly does want to do storytelling like this that wrestles with the value of the individual versus the group. But you look behind the scenes and you know that Lucas had a lot of trouble with organizations in his lifetime. And a lot of the prequels resolve around the failure of organizations. And then you start to look at the original trilogy. And a lot of that is the success of individuals who come together to form a group, as you were saying. Mm-hmm. So I was really interested in that contrast of almost this episode's to me saying Shaak Ti is an example of a Jedi who means well and put too many eggs in the basket of organization over individual. And here are the clones who balanced it right and succeeded because of it.
And it's a harbinger of the relationship to come with a lot of the Jedi and the clones. We even joke sometimes Obi-Wan seems a little harsher on the clones, not with Cody, but with everything, you know. I want to jump to this. What did you think? Because you talked about the great moment in Attack of Clones that you view as tragedy, and I'm right there with you on them marching off to war. It's why Bail Organa punches that fist down on the balcony, right? What have we done? Shaak Ti's speech, it's a graduation speech. I don't want to read too far into it, but like she's like, great, y'all graduate. Let's go on, fight the separatists. It's your great calling. She's not wrong, but what did you feel about Shaak Ti in that moment?
It was one of those moments where it feels like she has been subsumed to the group, right? Like the Jedi as an organization have decided that this is the right move. I have shared some defenses of why they would initially think that. But yeah, when Shaak Ti is just right there looking at it all the time of like, I am pumping out these clones who I can see are individuals who I respect as individuals, and I'm training them to work as a group and then march off to war. Like, didn't you start to question like some of the other Jedi did, you know?
Sorry to catch up. Yeah. It's like, it's one of those, like, we don't really have the answers. It's just a fun discussion point when you lay it down on that big map of the story overall, taking that vision and Attack the Clones, the big music swelling, marching off to war, and have her actually here again. I don't know what else she going to say in that moment. All right, y'all graduated. I don't fully agree with this war, but have fun. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But it reads as, you know, that's the belief. And that's part of the complicated confusion of the Jedi during this time.
Yeah. In that danger of taking the nobility of not acting on your emotions in a dangerous or petty way too far. And like, are you just kind of emotionally shut down, Shaak Ti?
Well,
this isn't affecting you because you are not mastering your emotions. You're rejecting them.
Yeah. And it's I don't know. It's also interesting because it's Shaak Ti, who is this very elegant, beautiful, almost like a French model who's got a laser sword, and she's just kind of disconnected. And, you know, it's just, she's always going to seem that way. Even if she's like talking about how much she loves a meal at Dexter's Diner, she's going to be like, it was very good and pleasing. So it's interesting to take that style and really have to focus on her words. And she is truly at times maybe dispassionate. Not dispassionate, but because I think she's a really good Jedi. You know what I mean? Yeah, but it's part. I'm excited. Sorry, it is part of that. Why we call it the Justice for the Jedi? There is no clear cut mistake. All of it comes out of good intentions. Well, maybe there's some mistakes, but yeah,
but it's all good. You can track them all down to good intentions, and she is being the group. You know?
Yes.
And there's a lot of Star Wars storytelling about this as well. I think just the view of the Force that translates to, hey, we are all connected. We all matter. We should see ourselves as our own organism, but we should also see ourselves as a part of this, you know, interconnected cosmos. And what harms one person harms me too. And I think there's some very just beautiful ideas of what the Force is. And this is, you know, commenting on that from the Jedi perspective and the clone perspective in such a complicated and interesting way.
Yeah, loved it.
The other kind of big picture theme that makes me think of Star Wars storytelling in general is just another great example of this idea that everyone has value. You know, we get that with the triumph of the Ewoks, Jar Jar and the Gungans, the Dio of like people in species and characters who would be kind of like, that's not one of the big players. They don't matter. And then what do you know when you treat them with respect? They really matter. Everyone matters. And Clone 99 is just such a great character in that pantheon of Star Wars, reminding you everyone has value.
Yeah. Oh, the 99 stuff's real touching. Was then, is now.
Yeah. One last kind of big picture theme that I wanted to ask you about, and then we'll head to a break. I found myself thinking a lot about the nature versus nurture of the clones. Obviously, that's a big point of the sociological discussion of, you know, how much of our traits are we just born with, baked into DNA, versus how much are we shaped by our experiences, our teachers, all of that. Mm. And, you know, the clones are, they obviously have, you know, they have a sped up lifespan, but they have a lifespan. And it's just fascinating to me to think about. They're clones. They're all made from Jango Fett. They they're supposed to be made to spec, I would imagine. Yeah. But all of this individuality is emerging, even though they're having very similar life experiences. They're, you know, literally sleeping in the exact same pod as one another.
Yeah.
Having the same meals, having the same training, and yet all of this individuality is emerging. What do you think about that, or how do you feel about that?
You just can't stop it, and why it's important to, view the clones as people, right? Didn't we see, it's one of the revelations of Padme was going to introduce legislation, right? The Clone Act, I forget what it was called. Sabe learns it. And so you can't, like Shmi telling Anakin, you can't stop the change. You can't stop the person coming out of the pod. And I did like the conversation, Lama Su just being like, you guys should find another clone. It's a very, very bad thing you all killed Jango Fett, because now your clone army's suffering. Like, I loved that scene. I loved going back to Kamino. So,
yeah. No, that was great. A little bit of a shade for Mace Windu there, right? Mm-hmm. Is the way I interpreted that. We're going to talk about shade for Mace Windu and many other fun details in this episode of The Clone Wars. We will be right back to do more Clone War Report.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Hey, 4Center fans, don't forget 4Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4Center on YouTube. Check it out.
And we are back for more Clone Wars reporting. We're going to dive into some of the fun details. Ken, did you have a favorite action moment in this episode?
I'll go to what was the Bravo Squadron when they take it real fast and they pass the test.
Yeah.
Even though, hey, they're kind of jerks to our heroes, the Domino Squad. I liked it because this whole sequence, this whole setup. And I know in Star Wars, I'm trying to trace when the first time a training room in Star Wars is just a bunch of, you know, grids painted on a wall and on the ground. Pops up a lot. I actually like it. But for me, it all reminds me of the great syndicated program in the late 80s, American Gladiators. My big favorite to the final competition where you got to run around and, you know, Lace or Laser is up there shooting a ball down at you. So the whole sequence just reminded me of that. And I enjoyed that. And it was fun to watch it done fast and properly. Take that, Domino Squad. Yeah,
no, there was a lot of just great evoking of that classic story that's in so many different kinds of storytelling of like, oh, here's the people that everybody loves who do everything right, and not our charming weirdos. And like a great, that scene is such a great contrast to,
yeah,
and leads that even like, oh, wow, they're really good. How about that next squadron?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great comedy moment. I really like just the whole training room. It's because it is so evocative of lots of different things. To me, it reminds me of just like a video game tutorial room. Like I've literally played James Bond video game tutorials that basically happen,
yeah,
in that room, you know, and it almost made me, I almost twitched for the controller of like, this is where I'm supposed to do the Clone Wars tutorial, right? Yeah. Like in this room, yeah. Learn how to aim and jump and yeah. roll. One of them even does yeah. little video game action roll.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He does. Yeah.
Yeah. Right at there at the end. I like droid bait getting shot because it amused me of like, oh, okay, well, that's okay. That's how you get a nickname.
Yeah, right.
But I think my favorite action moment, it happens throughout, was just Heavy being a Heavy because mm-hmm. We played that in Battlefront 2 right. so much where there's the Heavy class and you get to play it, you know, across eras, but you get to be a clone trooper with that big blaster. And, you know, I know from being a Heavy, mm-hmm. that Heavy's a very good Heavy.
Yeah, he's a good Heavy. He gets that gun out quick. When I have to switch to that gun, I usually get killed on Battlefront 2, yeah.
Yeah, he times it so the warm-up, because, you know, it's got a warm-up before it shoots, and half the time when I pop out and like, oh, I'm ready, it's warming up, and then I get shot.
Yeah,
that's yeah, it. But not Heavy. All Heavy right. does a great job, so.
Yeah.
Lots of great Heavy being a good Heavy action moments. Did you have a favorite moment of a comedy or whimsy or just kind of weirdness?
Yeah, I did watch this twice. Getting ready for a review. I think I'm still not even recalling it 100% correct. I do love when Shaak Ti, they're sitting down with Lama Su and they like bring her a drink. Doesn't she kind of just go like, no, like I no. I thought that was, I don't know. I just thought it was a funny moment. Like, are they offering her alcohol? And she's like, I abstain. Or cause Obi-Wan would be like, give me that. so I just thought it was a very funny. I love little tiny weird human moments with these wonderful mythical Jedi.
Yeah, yeah, no, that is great. You're right, because Obi-Wan would happily accept that. Yeah. Anakin might get grumpy, yeah, but no thank you.
No.
Yeah, I think for me, one of my favorite comedy moments, because it suckered me so well, and I've seen the episode you know, a couple times before and forgot it, we get that great establishing shot of their barracks with the weird sleeping pods, which I really, really love, just kind of Star Wars weirdness. Mm. Of just like cool, weird design. But then we start to overhear that conversation between two clones, and one of them's talking about, and then I said to her, and I'm like, how, where? I want to hear that story. Yeah. And then the other clone says, you never even met a girl.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's like Tan Wee or something. I don't know. Like, yeah, that was on my list too. I also like, you talk about like just weirdness, because they have these great pods that they're climbing up. I love that they don't, that anytime they're climbing down the ladders, it's kind of awkward and slow as it would be in real life, even though these are super trained soldiers with great skills and dexterity and things I don't have. they're it's like, I'll come down and show you. Clink, 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 clink. I love the essence of that.
Yeah, yeah, that's great stuff. I'd say just a moment of comedy that does come to pay off is I do like Echo's name being such an on point insult of somebody mm-hmm. who is such a rule follower. They have to repeat everything. Droid bait's kind of cruel, but in Echo's like that's a pretty good dig.
Yeah, no, and I love that he ends up you have to embrace it, or he chooses to embrace it. You know, it becomes who you are, or you rise above it, or it's a reminder of who you were at the point where you got that name, and that you're thankful for the path you're on. So I like it.
Yeah, that is technical know-how comes to have a ton of value, and that is mastery of the rules is valuable, even if he doesn't have to repeat it out loud at all mm-hmm. times. Any other moments of comedy or whimsy or weirdness?
No.
All right.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. We could do a whole podcast on You Never Even Met a Girl. I was like, is that latent memories from Django? Is that just totally somebody picking up from the hollows that's the way that you're supposed to talk in the barracks? Who knows?
That's awesome.
I like not knowing. I like that one being a mystery. We're going to move on to Star Wars canon and lore and connections to other stories. Obviously, there's a lot of big thematic stuff with the Jedi. Let's start talking about that. that comment from Lamassu about maybe needing to find another template and clone DNA being stretched thin because they're running out of Django's DNA, which does feel like a little bit of a dig towards, like, thanks, Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
What were your reactions to all that?
It did get me thinking of, like, well, what if they felt that they needed to? What if the war goes on a little bit long and you're losing these troops, you know, and who does someone volunteer? Do you go, Anakin, grab a magazine, come in here. Like, and then that made me think of, like, well, wait a minute. How do they get, what is the DNA they're getting? I've never thought about that in Star Wars. So,
well, honestly, so there's no one way to make a clone. So
he does say that. So it got, I did go down that rabbit hole of who else would you have picked? Dengar? Could Dengar have been it? and if there were, so now, if you're 7 years into the Clone Wars or something like that, and it's like you got a totally different set of clones, I don't know. You know, they could be Ara Singh for all we know. It doesn't, you know, it could be really interesting. So I did follow that path a little bit there too, and I just like Lamassu. I love going back to Kamino. I think Kamino's just a great addition to Star Wars, and one of the great things about Attack the Clones. But just Lamassu, just like, whatever, it's your money. Just real business. I just like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm interested that your mind went to Mace's culpability too. Do you feel like that was a challenge? Did it make you think about whether or not Mace was right to execute Django?
No, I didn't take it as a challenge for Mace, but you know, this sounds like total like Star Wars nitpickier, but it's not. It's totally from a fun point of view. But just like, all right, Mace, you cut his head off, but you couldn't kill Palpatine. Come on, like, what are you doing? No, I just think it reminds me a lot of what we've been talking about of the themes of the Jedi finding themselves in this war, and they have to work with someone who'd be like, you guys made a mistake, and maybe Lamassu is right. I don't know, but Mace doesn't know, right? Mace isn't tracking or isn't thinking long term in that moment as he's cutting Django's head off.
And no, even, they're trying to end the war then.
Then, yeah. So even if he knows that, is he going to stop? No, I don't think he is. So I love that the Jedi Shakti kind of has to sit there and take it. Not that she doesn't mind of her own and can't speak, but just like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. You know, because without your army right now, we're not in this. We're not going to win this war. We need to win it. We feel we need to win it. So, yeah, it's an interesting moment.
Yeah, I think I gravitate toward it because I'm just a little obsessed with Mace's beheading of Django. I love it as a storytelling point, but it's a fun examination of, yeah, Jango Fett is really dangerous, and he has proven that. And, you know, Mace, I got no problem with the, disarming him, literally cutting off his hand. But I always picture, like, you know, a big force push, just sending him flying into the wall, knocking him out. That would have worked too, right, yeah. Mace? But somehow, some reason, in that moment, Mace just decided, nah, this guy's a threat. He's going to keep being a threat. I am totally taking this guy. He's a part of this, the machinery of this war, and we're trying to stop this war, and the head's got to go, you know, and I love how that propels Boba Fett, but it's just fun then to see, Mace certainly felt justified in that moment, make, you know, plenty of great discussions and arguments for, like, yep, no, he was justified in that, but then to see, have Star Wars storytelling keep showing ramifications of it, not just Boba Fett, right. But now this, like, yeah, we're going to have some more problems with clones sometimes because you guys killed, you guys cut the head off the golden goose.
Yeah, and to take these head canon discussions, the Mace comic that they put out, the 5-issue comic, which has some uneven points to it, but at the core of it is this real good exploration of that specific moment in Revenge of the Sith, with Mace before Palpatine and how it relates to something as a Padawan. But I wonder, because, you know, again, he's raising the blade to take out Palpatine, right? But he doesn't do it right away. He's wrestling with it, as he should. So you have to wonder, was there ever a conversation? You know, Mace, did you, you chopped his head off, Django's, right? With no hesitation. Oh man, that might've been a problem. Is there any of those discussions that ever happen so that when he's in Palpatine's things, he's like, oh, am I going to get in trouble again? Like, I just love having those kind of fun discussions with, quite frankly, myself, but all of the Force Center listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great discussion. And I really liked that, the specter of it was brought up in this episode. Yeah. Other kind of lore connections, we mentioned the bounty hunter training. I think that connects to this discussion we keep having about Jedi compromise, of like they are stretched thin. They don't have time to train you. It's in a real dismissive way of like, they can't be bothered. We got one here. That's good. But other than that, just hire bounty hunters. How did you feel about that? Did you feel like the Jedi were, that the Jedi should have been there?
Yeah, well, yes. It's also interesting, you know, how our view of the bounty hunters of the galaxy are, right? We definitely generally associate them with the bad team, right? Like it's just, and I would say for the most part, that is true in Star Wars. Just being a bounty hunter and getting someone to skip bail in our real world doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad guy. But in Star Wars, bounty hunters always been associated with loner, dangerous, on the dark side of things, not with the Force, but just the galaxy. So, yeah. So to see that just the Jedi at this point, I don't know. Do they fit? Well, the clone army is based on a bounty hunter. This guy Brick knows his way around armies. Let's just hire him. Ellis seems pretty sweet. Let's hire that. Like it is, it raises the question of who you're working with and what have you been forced to work with? You're forced to do this. You can't train him perhaps in a better way or more in your image as Jedi because you're off fighting a war that, you know, you kind of were tricked into. It just leads you down those wonderful discussion points. I don't necessarily think it's wrong. I don't necessarily think it's right, but they're there and that could be the problem.
Yeah, and that, I just love that that is a part of the big picture storytelling of the Clone Wars animated series, that you got the contrast between, you know, Jedi sitting around in a circle, meditating and debating every move to be absolutely certain that they are justified in the way that they're proceeding. And then as soon as the Clone Wars starts, they're like, lead armies. Oh, yeah, make a deal with the Hutt crime lords. Hire some bounty hunters to train them. It's like,
right, because
contrast from where they were to where they immediately go.
Yeah, you're watching this in chronological order. Like you're that's exactly what you got going on. They're working with the Hutts. They're working with bounty hunters. I thought they were the Jedi. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Poor Jedi.
Yeah, and again, not right or wrong. Just say like, wow, you're on a path. You're certainly on a path.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a part of the brilliance of Sidious's plan.
Yeah.
To force them to make these little compromises bit by bit. And they're searching for the Sith Lord, who is responsible, but from their perspective, they're responsible because he's forcing them into making these chess moves, but they are making them themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about Echo, but I wanted to touch on that, that this is chronologically our introduction to Echo. And I love his journey heading towards where we see him at the end of Clone Wars, that he starts as the person who is really obsessed with following the rules. He gets called out early in this episode for not being able to adapt, that he's just really rigid. So when you start a character story with he can't adapt to now he feels so different, so unique that he goes off with the Bad Batch who are all about being totally different individuals. Like what an interesting arc. How did you feel about that, reflecting on where he's going to end up and seeing where he begins?
Yeah, there's a lot more depth to the Echo story now that it's all out there. Even the fact that, you know, what happens to him and his capture and how he's literally just kind of echoing the information he knows to the Separatists, or, you know, is being pulled from his brain, but he's just spitting it up there. It the name takes on even more meaning. But then, like I said, to accept where you are, and even though it might be a name that came from a bad spot, I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying this is something that directly translates to real life. I'll look across Game of Thrones, as I often do, of just the character of Grey Worm having a chance to change his name. And it's like, no, I won't change it because without that path, I'm not here to meet you, Daenerys Targaryen. I'm not free because, if I'm not on this path, I'm not changing that. I'm accepting it and growing beyond it. I think there's a little bit of that with Echo if you follow his life. Because it's just a joke. We got Echo, more rules, you know? And I'm like, well, hey, that's not a bad thing. but he wears it. And it's probably a constant reminder. And then it makes him probably feel even more secure in the end, wherever he is now. And hey, maybe we'll pick up on a little bit on those threads in the Bad Batch series. It would be interesting. So anyways, just more depth to it. I took more out of it even now than I did.
Yeah. Then. Yeah. No, I totally agree with all that. And I think that's great. And it got me excited because this is, you know, our rewatch of the, you know, older episode of the Clone Wars, but it also feels like I'm watching a prequel for this new show, Bad Batch, knowing that Echo is with Bad Batch and getting to see his story continue. Echo is one of my favorite clones because it's such a relatable, like you, at least to me, you nerd.
Yeah.
Did you study for the test, you know, and like, hey, come on, it's not a bad thing. And
right.
He goes through so much. It really makes me even more excited to catch up with him and see more depth of development with him in the Bad Batch series that we're getting now.
Mm-hmm.
Final bit of canon or lore connection that jumped out to me is just a fun, very small thing that at one point one of the clones calls one of the fake droids Chrome Dome, which I thought was great to see that pop up again in The Last Jedi.
Right.
And that's one of those lines that I've heard some people be like, come on, that's a terrible line. And I like it.
Sure. I don't mind it.
And so did that clone. So there, that clone probably likes that line in The Last Jedi. Any other connections to canon or lore that you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, Rancor Battalion. Enough said. Sign me up.
Yeah, no, that was great. I absolutely love that. He was a great picture of like a great ARC trooper.
Yeah, I want Happabor Division, you know, Ronto Raiders.
More and more colorful. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Rathtar Squad for sure. The many limbs of the Rathtar Squad are everywhere. Was there anything in this episode that you disliked or questioned or didn't work for you?
No. And it helps that it's just kind of this one contained episode, so there's less room to play with there. I liked it. I think the clones, the training clones, the masks being the translucent, you can see through. I like that choice. Maybe I didn't back in the day. I'd like that you know you can see their faces. You can go more up and personal in those in there. The design of Brick is fine. Like it's fine. It's one of those like those hairs, his brain, so freaky. But it's never bothered me. But I never not focus on it at one point during any time one of these characters pops up.
Yeah, I don't think at any point his brain head pulses, but I always picture it pulsing.
Yes, it's very Mars Attacks. It's classic, which again is part of the fun of the prequel era, right? And their Clone Wars extends into that idea of just like weird sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only thing for me, and it kind of actually works, but there are a couple of moments because I was having so much fun really tracking the clones. You know, especially, you know, Fives and Echo are going to really go on to be super important. But because this is early in their career and they don't have different haircuts or tattoos yet, there's some moments where it's legitimately hard to tell them apart of like, oh, I totally recognize that delivery is heavy, but who just said that?
Oh, yeah. Fives and Echo going to Shaak Ti to bounce out of the unit. I had a couple like, wait, I had to like kind of do some, you know, Wikipedia and of like, oh, it was Fives and Echoes. I didn't know. And also, by the way, I'm looking up just so no one tweet. Brick is a Cinetine, which I am aware, and that is an anagram of Einstein. And there's this great quote. I feel like it's the old data bank brawl days, Joseph. Grand Moff Losen Tulruk says, never trust a Cinetine. A brain that large contains a multitude of treacheries.
Like the Ascension gun. So I guess
there you go.
I guess that Moff is right. Since you're on the Wikipedia page, where did the Cinetines come from originally?
Humanoid. Let's see. Oh, no, that's not the wrong thing. I'm out of practice from the old data bank days. Native to Mileva. Mileva is the, not much to it, just listed as the homeworld of the Cinetine species.
Okay. But I mean, like, where in real life Star Wars, when were they introduced?
Oh, where they first appear?
Yeah.
I mean, Clone Cadets is actually, I think, the first one.
Oh, wow.
And then it goes on from there. They have a lot of Clone Wars stuff, a lot of other characters. Night Sisters, flashback, right? Because it ties in a little bit of Ventress's story, if I remember correctly. Yeah, because you have Golas, Aram, Brick, Halstead, Beck, Lossy, Pones, Limbic, Nim, Mindbend, and my favorite one, Brainy. Brainy appeared.
That's so great. I'm going to do a Cinnatine deep dive when we finish recording.
As a friend of Greedo. Brainy is a friend of Greedo.
Brainy is a friend of Greedo. Nice. Nice. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we spent some quality time with the Cinnatine there. And almost all of them sound like bands I don't know about.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And Halstead was the one that has received the infant Asajj Ventress.
Okay. Yeah. Halstead sounds like an artist who is always guesting on somebody else's tracks to me.
Featuring Halstead and a sample from Dido. Yeah. So it's great.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's not really that big of a critique. To have that in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm looking up Pons Limbic because that name jumped out to me and it looks like that he is in live action.
Hmm.
Pons Limbic, who was nicknamed Brainiac for his ability to mentally calculate hyperspace jumps. He spent time in Chalmers Spaceport Cantina on the planet Tatooine. Okay, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, interesting. There is someone listed in New Hope. Is that him? Is that the one?
Yeah. Okay. So he is from that weird brain design is from way back in the beginning then.
Yeah. Or was it special edition? Maybe. I don't know. Sometimes it's confusing. But yeah.
Absolutely. Well, during the production of A New Hope, the character was referred to as Brainy, Cranium Head, and Crater Head.
Well, and there you go.
All the rich life of Cinnatines and exploring Wikipedia.
We love
Wiki. All right. Anything that we haven't talked about that you wanted to touch on?
I just did want to say, you know, in doing this chronological order and we're watching everything as it plays out, it's interesting, you know, because we do see Domino Squad early on in the series. And I actually think this episode here to begin season 3, it works really well for me because it then serves as a flashback prequel episode. And because even if you're just watching this in 2010, you're already more connected with the clones. You're already more connected with Domino Squad. You might be even more specifically connected to them. So there has a little bit of emotional punch to like, let's go back to how they learned to be clones, like to actually see some of the training. I thought that was actually a real effective use of dropping this episode totally out of order.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the power of meeting Clone 99 as well and just getting that whole picture of their life, it does work pretty well as they jumping back and they end the a little bit of like, oh, we want to be ARC troopers. Yay, you're gonna get to be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
at least some of you. It's all good stuff. I think I managed to touch on all of the different stuff that I wanted to talk about. I guess the Clone 99 metal bit, that is great, that
yes.
Connection between him and Heavy and that moment where Clone 99 is really, really being the one who says, you know, you have an opportunity to really be someone and to really lean into your name and have it be a thing of pride. Is just such great classic Star Wars storytelling and good storytelling for the 12-year-olds of all ages, from actual 12-year-olds to much older.
Yeah. No, I love it. Yeah, you always had a name, all that 99 stuff. It's tear-inducing.
Yeah, great stuff. Ken, if you could have a figure of any character from this episode, who do you want?
So I'm going to have to change my answer. I'll give you what I had, and then I'll change it. I was going to say Clone 99 with, like, action mop, like some mop action, even though he doesn't really use a mop so much in the show. But, you know, he's maintenance. You know, he's pulling those droid bodies, you know, it's a little Opeepit. Like, can we get Clone 99 and Opeepit in the Janitors of the Galaxy figure edition? But as we're talking, I realize I need a like a 6-inch Black Series Brick Cinnatine figure with a squishy brain head. Like you just kind of
that it would make a little squelchy noise. Absolutely. I think I'm obsessed with those cinema scenes where you would have three figures. I was talking on the other show this week about Watto's box. I would love the Clone Judgment action pack set that has Shakti, LS, and in good old squishy headed Brick. That would be great.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, Citadel. That was the other thing I wanted to mention. I love that it's Citadel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Little connection.
Which obviously has good connections going forward. But anyway, we have said so many things. Ken, our next episode is going to be Supply Lines. I believe it's season 3, episode 3. That will be the next one we're discussing. If you want to keep watching with us, what should the moral of this episode of our podcast be?
I think the moral of this podcast should be never judge a brain by its size, but by its content.
Never judge a brain by being able to see it on the outside of your head, right?
Yes.
Great moral. Do you want to take us home with all the plugs and everything?
I'll take us home, my friend. Thank you all for listening to the Clone Wars Report here at Force Center. If you want to reach out and join the conversation, do so on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Force Center. We are on Instagram, YouTube. You can like our Facebook page. We have merch on tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And then you can support us if you want at patreon.com/Force Center. Many tiers to choose from. Find one that's best suiting your heart's desires. But as always, a great way to support us, subscribe, rate, review, and tell a friend about everything we do here on Force Center. Don't forget to follow Jennifer Landa as well. Still very much part of this team in spirit and hopefully in literal a literal sense of the word soon on a special episode we're building. We know a lot of you look forward to hearing more from Jennifer here on Force Center. Don't worry, we do too. But don't forget to follow Jennifer Landa on all the things she does. And you can follow us along our paths outside of Star Wars. Go to me at kednapsock.com and at kednapsock across all social media platforms. And Joseph, for you.
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw and all my other comedy adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com.
Check out the comedy. All right. Halstead is a new bit you should put in. Do a little bit. You got a little skit? Do a little skit about Halstead, Joseph. That is it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. And Joseph, you can give us the final word.
That is right. We are happy to work here as a group and still be individuals, and we hope you are all enjoying that in the great lesson of the clones. We will be back to talk more Clone Wars reporting.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.